Second Peter chapter 3, and on Wednesday evenings, for some time here, we've been, our overarching consideration is growing up in the Lord. We've been talking more recently and looking into the scriptures recently about our daily walk and different aspects of that. And we are at that subject of speaking to our Lord, or prayer, praying unto our Lord. Two aspects of that: we hear from the Lord and we pray unto our Lord. But here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, last book of the epistle, but grow in grace, that is favor, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so that's a charge that we have as the Lord's people, to grow in our Lord. And communication with our Lord is essential for that. We will not grow without communication with our Lord. We took a look last time in regards to prayer and how it is with Catholicism has taken prayer. Universalism has taken prayer and made it a punishment. But prayer is a blessing, isn't it? It is a blessing to speak to our Lord. It's a thing that He has provided. And certainly prayer is not penance, but prayer is a blessing indeed. And Catholicism will take and for penance by those that come to the priest and confess their sins to the priest, they'll be given so many Our Fathers to declare. And that's the model prayer outlined by our Lord in the Scripture, which we've taken a look at. And that is their punishment to make those things right. That's not the design, the Lord's design of prayer, but prayer is a blessing and the way that we communicate with our blessed Lord indeed. We took a look last time about who we pray, to whom that we pray, and we pray to the Father. And so we want to take a look here quickly in John chapter 14, verse number 14, whose name we pray in. And then this is a thing that we need to know. That we need to know and to understand. We need to understand this about prayer. And in John 14:14, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Let us back up, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." That's interesting that the Lord would say that there would be greater works done by His church that remains than what He had done, "because I go into my Father." And I think that's the spreading of the gospel and the work of the church, the Lord's churches worldwide. "Because I go into my Father," verse 13, "and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." And so we pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. John 16. Verse number 23, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. They had been asking the Lord all things while he was there with them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And so it's not a matter of us having the semantics right, but to have the understanding right that we pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of our Savior, His Son, our elder brother, and that has authority and has a power in it, not like an incantation, but by the design of the Lord. The Father's interested in the work of the Son, and we are that work. And so we pray into the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. An analogy that's given is this, and where Brother Mark works, they deal with this all the time. When there's a check that is signed, can I take your check and sign my name to it and give it authority for it to be cashed? Not at all. It's your check. And so only the authorized signature is authorized to sign the check to make it valid. Well, in prayer, it's kind of that way. When we pray to our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, our Savior, in His name, it is by His authority and for His purpose, His work, His ministry, His bidding to us that we are petitioning our Father. Many times that we might end a prayer by saying, we ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Because that's what we are about, isn't it? It's for His sake, for His work in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 3, in regards to taking that analogy about checks and that indicates wealth and the authority of that. Look here in Ephesians 3, verse number 8. The apostle telling here about what he is blessed with and is calling to the Lord, by the Lord. In Ephesians 3, verse number 8, unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace, this favor given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Lord Jesus says, ask in my name. I'll do it. Ask in my name. The Father will do it. And of course, we know that frivolous prayer is not what the Lord is dealing with and talking about there, but things that glorify His name. I think that's the key in that, and praying to our Lord is praying for things that will glorify the Lord. The Lord will answer it. The Lord will answer it. Oh, yes, the answer may be different than what you and I desire, but He will answer, and that should be our desire, is that He be glorified. As we pray, we need to understand this, is that we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Somehow, here in Logan County, Kentucky, we can pray, and our Father in the third heaven hears it. Isn't that something? And you know what? Somehow, those prayers get answered. There's actually things that get moved, if you will, and things that happen, things that get accomplished that are beyond us. There's the power of the Holy Spirit, and of course, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And He's all-powerful, isn't He? He's omnipotent. Remember the Omni song that the ladies sing from time to time. But the Lord uses the means of the angels of God, the ministering spirits. And so by virtue of all that, the Holy Spirit of God, the ministering spirits of God, the angels, and the great power of the Lord, He answers and does His will and meets the request that we make unto Him. One thing in regards to prayer that I want us to consider here is, what do you pray for? What do we pray for? In Matthew chapter 6, we see here a model prayer given to the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount. And granted, it's a simple thing, but it's a very necessary thing. And without it, our lives will not be the same. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 11, the Lord, or verse number 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, a model, an example of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, Brother Jim, the pantry is loaded up. Everything's all stocked up. I tell you what, saved by the blessing of the Lord, everything in there will rot and spoil. We need to ask the Lord for our daily food. Thank Him for our daily food. Are you wise? Well, I tell you what, naturally we can have a tendency to be self-wise, can't we? But I tell you what, we need the wisdom of the Lord, don't we? What else can we pray for? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I tell you what, we don't need to be wise in a carnal sense. We need the wisdom of our Lord. In James chapter 1, verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, Let him ask of God. And you know what? Wisdom about anything, and we've touched on this. Is there anything that the Lord can't help you with? We've looked at that. No, he can help with anything. You mean the Lord can help me with my job? That's right, he's an expert at it. He can help me with my health? That's right. He can help me with my children and the raising, rearing of them and the teaching of them? Yes, he can help with that. He can help with everything. He knows it all. He's able. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. That means he's not metering it out. He's got plenty of it to give liberally. You know what? We need to ask for the Lord's wisdom. Wisdom in all things. And upbraideth not. You know what that means? That means when you come to him asking him for wisdom, he doesn't say, hey, beat it. Get out of here. What are you doing here asking for that? You don't belong here. He doesn't upbraid. You mean you don't know? Surely by now you know, and maybe we might be guilty, but he doesn't upbraid. He's worshipped and glorified when we do come to him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Pray for wisdom. I like this in 2 Thessalonians. This is good. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, desires this of them, that they pray. And you know what? We need to pray this. In this new year, we need to pray. You know, our Lord has given the promise that his word will not return unto him void. It will not go out in vanity. The Word of God will not. But it will accomplish that to which he purposes. The Word of God is able as it goes forth. You know what? It is our natural tendency to think that the preaching of God's Word, the telling of God's Word, the witnessing to others by what God has said is just not going to get the job done. But you know what? The design is that way, to take all the ability and the glory away from you and me, not place it on us, but to place it on our Lord. His word will work. That's some time ago, I had a time of emphasizing, let us not give our opinion, but let us give what God says. That's what we need to tell, is what God says. The best thing you can do is put in front of your family and your friends, folks you work with, different ones you come in contact with, different issues and subjects that come up, is put before them what God says. That's the best we can do. Because then it's what God says. Not our opinion, not what we think. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse number 1, finally, brethren, as he signs off, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course. I thought the word wouldn't return void. That's right, it won't. But I tell you what, it's good for us to pray that it have free course. The Lord to take it by his Spirit and by his power, his great ability, that we just do not understand and cannot comprehend, but we know that it's so. But it's just hard for us to we don't have it. Maybe that's a better way to say it. We don't have the power that the Lord has in taking and using his word. I'll tell you what, we can be involved with it by proclaiming it. Pray, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, the word of the Lord be glorified, even as it is with you. You know what? The church of Thessalonica took the word of God and said, yes, that's right. That's right. That's what we should follow in. Acts chapter 4, something for us to pray for. You ever get scared? You ever get fearful talking to somebody about the Lord? Your palms get sweaty? You feel like you're going to get tongue-tied? You ever have that? Yeah, you get to thinking about what they're going to think about you. You ever get that? You ever get afraid of talking to somebody about the Lord and witnessing to them and telling them about their need of Christ, what Jesus did for sinners, about his gospel and their great need of him, and you know full well that you're going to blush? You ever have that? Acts chapter 4. Our brethren here have been challenged, and some of the brethren have been beaten and abused by the authority in that day. And let's pick it up here in Acts chapter 4, verse number 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They're praying. They're praying. And said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain and empty things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. You think the Lord doesn't know that? The Lord knows that, doesn't he? But to rehearse what has happened is not a bad thing. To rehearse that, to speak honestly before the Lord about those things that have happened is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They got down to the point, didn't they? Lord, you're in control. All of that looked like you weren't in control. But indeed, Father, you are in control. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, look at it. It's kind of like what David would do, isn't it? David would say, Father, look at my enemies. Listen to what they say about me. Look what they are doing to me. Deliver me. These are doing the same. Behold their threatenings, Lord, and grant unto thy servants, unto us, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. I tell you what, a thing to pray for is to pray for boldness. Boldness in the Lord. Now, not belligerent, not being belligerent, but bold. Wisdom in the Lord to speak. Boldness that they may speak thy word. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now, what you and I, what we would put in there instead for that verse number 30 is that we would say, not that there be miracles done, because that time has passed. Oh, the Lord does do miracles, I believe indeed, but he doesn't work miraculous miracles at the hand of his people. Why? Because we've got this book. You and I would say, Lord, fill me with this book that I may know it and that I might have the word to say when it needs to be said and the right dividing of it to give out to others. Not miracles, but the Lord's good word that he has magnified above his name. Boldness. In Psalm 34, Brother David over here and the psalmist indicate something that we can pray for and should pray for. Psalm 34, verse number 4. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How do you like that one? Are you ever afraid? I tell you what, a lot of people living in fear today. A lot of people living got fears. Fears of the unknown. Fears of the what ifs. And I dare say that many of the fears that we have, we worry about, and 90% of them don't even come to pass. And what does come to pass is totally different than what we feared. Do you ever get afraid? I'm sure we do. Sure we get afraid. We have times we're going to get afraid. You know what we do? We need to do when we get afraid? not connive and figure, and I don't mean that in a bad way, not trying to figure out what we're going to do. We need to always go to the Lord when we fear. You think something schedule-wise is coming to a point that's just not going to work out, go to the Lord with it. You think that there's something going on with yourself or with your family, maybe health-wise, go to the Lord with it. May we go to the Lord first in everything. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You have fears? Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Don't go to the Lord hiding your fears. But let us go to the Lord confessing our fears unto Him. And that He would help us with them. We need deliverance, don't we? In Psalm 119, a blessed psalm about the word of the Lord, the psalmist here in a couple different verses indicates some things that we can ask for and to pray for. Psalm 119, verse number 18. And slow down for a second and just listen to what the psalmist is asking of the Lord. And verse number 18 of Psalm 119, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The Bible. You ever read the Bible and it's just kind of blasé? It's just kind of sealed up today. Just don't get anything out of it. Maybe we would be in such a shape that we would say that the Word of God is just really boring today. It's just not clicking. I'll tell you what, that's the reason when we go to listen to the Lord out of His Word, we need to pray that the Lord would help us that we might hear Him. Brother Doug touched about the old man that's on our back. See, we're alive and we care about the things of the Lord and His service, His worship, and the things of God because we're saved. We've got the Spirit of God living within. But the flesh and the mind didn't get saved. They're not saved. When the Lord saved our souls, He didn't save our bodies. He didn't save that part of our minds that is us and all of our history and all of our past. We need help that the Lord would open our eyes and that we might behold wondrous things out of His Word. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing and a very good thing for us to pray for. In the same Psalm in 133, how about your life? How about our lives? Do we pray about different aspects of our lives? You're going to take up something new. You're going to take up something new in your life. Have you prayed to the Lord about it? You're going to take up something new for your children? Or have you prayed to the Lord about it? In Psalm 119, verse number 133, "Order my steps in thy word." The steps are us walking in life. Tell you what, we can take some bad steps, can't we? Some dishonoring steps to our Lord. Do you want to take those dishonoring steps to our Lord? A move that we make, a thing that we do, a thing that we pursue, a thing that we get into. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Lord, help me that I not sin against you. Help me that I not pursue any iniquitous thing. In regards to prayer, there's an acronym that's given. And just as a general rule, we mentioned something last time about the word ACTS or the acronym ACTS. As we pray into our Lord, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. There's another one that we can consider is that of joy. About our Lord Jesus. That we're praying to the Father in His name. And because of Him, He's given us this privilege of prayer. We pray for others, and then we pray for ourselves. Joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. Do you have a prayer list? We publish a prayer list every week here, and I hope that I can help you with something about the prayer list. Something that I've seen in recent times is it's got down to the point, and you know, don't make a change for my sake, but I see this happening. We publish the prayer list, and you realize that weekly we print out 12 of them. The reason we print out 12 of them is because only about 6 of them get took. And you know why I think that 6 of them get taken? Is because the thing is so big that when one picks up a prayer list, they think they're making a commitment to pray for every person every day of the year. That's not what it's for. It's understood that you can't necessarily pray for every person on that prayer list every day. You know what? That prayer list will help you to remember somebody that when the Lord brings them to heart and mind, you can look up their name and be able to remember them. Or maybe the Lord will put it on your heart when you're at home or at work or out and about, whatever, of the ministers that we have listed on there. Or maybe the Lord will put it on your heart and mind about the military people. And I can't remember who all we have there. That prayer list is to be a help, not a bondage. And on there, if you take one, you can look at it and help us trim off the ones that don't need to be on there because the Lord's helped them or blessed or whatever or they've gone on. Or you can write down those that you think of during the week. If you're anything like me, I've got to write it down or I just don't remember it. And then you've got those on your own things that you pray for that you don't necessarily share with the church or with one another. We all have those. And maybe you've got a mental list. I'm not upset about this. I'm just telling you something that I've noticed. And so avail yourself to the prayer list that we have. You can at least take a look at your brothers and sisters and what's going on with them on there. We list about the elderly and what's going on with them. It's not a commitment to pray for every name every day. But it's good to have a prayer list. It's not required to have a prayer list. But it's a good thing. It'll help you remember. It'll help you remember. It'll help us give us a place that we can put notes along that line. And so consider about that. Now, I know life is busy. There's something else that I want to take a look at here tonight regarding prayer. And it's this about hindrances. Hindrances to prayer. You know what? Our prayer can be hindered. Psalm 66. We're here close. Psalm 66. What are some hindrances to prayer being answered? Psalm 66, verse number 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, we take a look at context, and context is king in determining this, you know, understanding about the scriptures. But we do have a temptation sometimes that we can say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. But we got to remember all of it's inspired by God. The psalmist was brought to understand if he regarded iniquity in his heart. How do we regard iniquity? Well, we have something that the Lord has made very plain that is wicked, sinful, and we harbor it in our hearts. Or we don't take a stand even between us and the Lord about it. Or maybe we have it in our hearts and we foster it. we go ahead and feed it. If you and I regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us, even in these New Testament times. We need to have an understanding and openness that our lives are ever open before the Lord. And He knows us all the way down to the thoughts of our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We need to be open and honest with our Lord. And what we need to do with unconfessed sin is confess it and turn from it and turn back to our Lord. Let's take a look at Isaiah 59, Isaiah chapter 59. Here the context is the Lord speaking through Brother Isaiah unto Israel, to Judah. And it says here in Isaiah 59, verse number 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Even as the children of God, we're subject to sin. And we don't need to regard iniquity in our heart. We need to understand the chasm that sin in our lives. Yeah, even sin that's hidden that no one else knows about. It puts a big block, big obstruction, great chasm between us and our Lord. And we need to confess that unto Him. In James chapter 4, we mentioned about this earlier as we pray. In James chapter 4, a hindrance to prayer is selfishness. James 4, verse number 3, let's go back up to verse number 1. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts or desires that war in your members?" That conflict. "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." Going about it entirely the wrong way. Verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." We have selfish motives, and we're subject to it. And it doesn't mean that we always do, but we're subject to, and we need to introspect as we pray. Now, there may be something, some blessing, something that you and I would want for our family, or a husband would want for his wife, or wife would want for his husband, or that, or something we would want for our children that's not sinful or wicked in and of itself. To ask the Lord for a thing like that, it is not wrong, but always yielding to what the Lord wants. But certainly the picture that's painted here is us asking and not getting what we want by every way that we would push and press to get it, and then pitching a fit that we don't. Like spoiled children. We don't need to be selfish, but we need to pray according to our Lord's will and seek and desire to do that, and not ask amiss just for the sake of pleasing the flesh. Sometimes it can be that folks will fall into this, to where this is the thing that they look at the Lord as. He's just this big Amazon.com. And the things that I want, if I don't get them from the Lord, I'm going to be upset and that. Now, we don't need to be selfish in our motives. A great hindrance to prayer is what we find in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, our Lord Jesus speaking here. Let's back up. Here the Lord is coming in and out of Jerusalem, and He's cursed the fig tree. It's withered away instantly. In the morning, He curses it. They come back in the afternoon, And even at that instant, Nat, they see the instantness of that cursing, and it's withering away. Verse 22 of Mark 11, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith." Verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." Not pray and say, "Well, I know the Lord wouldn't do that." You know, no. Pray, and then the Lord answers a different way. You say, "Praise the Lord. The Lord did answer. Wasn't the way I wanted." But don't let our answer be, "Well, I knew he wouldn't do what I wanted to anyway." See, that's not praying in faith. Verse 25, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father," this is Jesus speaking, "that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." A hindrance to our lives and a hindrance to our prayers is not being a forgiving people. We need to be, as our Lord, instant to forgive. We need to be instant to forgive in our hearts, between us and the Lord. There is an element about forgiveness, or that of forgiveness, that becomes more public. And we need to deal with that well too. But we always, when we're, each one of us is offended, we need to be instant in heart before the Lord to forgive. Otherwise, it'll hinder us. It'll hinder us at a given opportunity for bitterness to come in. And many are defiled with that, we know the Scripture says. Our Lord Jesus says, when you stand praying, that's the time, the latest time for you and I to forgive. See, the offense may have happened a while ago. We needed to forgive then. But when it gets down to prayer time, we for sure need to forgive then. "When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." That's what Jesus said right here in New Testament to you and me. So we need to be a forgiving people. Forgiving people is our Lord. Again, the example is our Lord Jesus on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In 1 Peter chapter 3, a couple that is married, married and both of them saved, we can have a hindrance in our marriage that will hinder our prayers. Verse number 3 of 1 Peter 3, verse number 7, rather. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," our wives, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." And that honor is talking about the value, the preciousness, and the price of a wife. Remember in Proverbs it tells us that a good wife is without a price. There's no price. "And the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life." Heirs together, which we are. We're joint heirs with Christ. And a husband and wife that are saved are heirs together. Same goal, same direction, same end, same Savior. "As heirs being together of the grace of life," he says, "husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor to the wife, your heirs together, that your prayers be not hindered." And don't you find that interesting that's there? The Lord says, work on your marriage. All right, you know, each one of our marriages is representative of Christ and His church. It is. And it's to be representative in a good way. In Proverbs 28, verse number 9, Proverbs chapter 28, or Proverbs 28, verse number 9. A hindrance to prayer is just a failure to listen and obey. I mentioned about this here a message or two ago, about the Lord speaking to us through from His Word. Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Regarding iniquity in our hearts, you know, as I mentioned, and as we saw, I trust, as you and I study God's Word, listening to the Lord speaking to us, as we read, as we meditate, as we study, when we see what the Lord says in His Word for us to do or not to do, we need to take it up and run with it and obey it. But if we don't, if we turn away our ear from hearing our Lord's law, His Word, His prayer shall be abomination. We sure don't want that, do we? Proverbs chapter 21. Hindrances to prayer. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. We need to help folks to the need of the necessity of life. In our church, I think we've developed a good policy. And when folks come to us asking for food, we have a system set up where folks are able to buy free will offering, a give. It's interesting this time of the year. Normally we have some kind of inquiry for electricity. We had one call the other day, but they never did bring a bill. For the basics and those fundamental foundational things of life that are necessary, you know, if we're engaged with somebody and they need clothing, we need to get them some clothing. That's just being compassionate. Now, we can't build people's houses and we can't provide a living indefinitely and things like that, but the basics of life we can certainly provide to those that come to us. If we are not compassionate, I gave you an example here of some services ago. You know, the Lord's compassion for us needs to make us a compassionate people, not an inconsiderate people, but a considerate people about folks that are in need. The example in James that's given: somebody comes and they need food and they need clothing, and we say, "Be ye warmed and filled." It's not a good witness of Christ. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And then Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah. All right. Zechariah chapter 7. A hindrance to prayer. We find here Zechariah 7, verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. Remember how we talked about that a few services ago? And stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried and would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor return, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. What do we see here? A hindrance that we can have to answered prayer is that of stubbornness. The Lord tells us the truth, and He gives us His Word. And then us, we in our day, we've all got several copies of the Bible in one form or another, and we have great liberty and freedom to receive and to feed and to have this Word in us. And the Lord speaks to us as He says that He did to these, but they refused. Stubborn. It's a hindrance. As they went and cried themselves, there was no compassion from the Lord, is the example that's given. Hindrances to prayer, unconfessed sins, selfish motives, failure to forgive others, poor relationships or issues in our marriage, a failure to listen to God's Word, lack of compassion, and stubbornness. How can we get rid of these hindrances? 1 John chapter 1, and we'll close. How do you get rid of faults, failures, sins, transgression, iniquity? We've got a great blessing here. Verse number 6 of 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with our Lord, with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What's that walking in darkness? Not in the Lord's light, not in the Lord's Word, what He has said, but the way of the world. The way of self, the way of the flesh. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, you and I will, and with the Lord. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, obeying the Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So don't say you're not guilty of sinning against the Lord, because we are. We are. It's just the facts. It's not an excuse, but it is the facts. We do sin. If we confess our sins, here's the key verse, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Verse number 1 of chapter 2, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. So stay away from sin. The Lord Jesus said it. He said, do everything you can to stay away from sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, that suffering body. He took the punishment for them, for our sins. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the only propitiation, the only body to take the beating, pay the price for the sins that works. There have been many that have beat themselves and try to do penance for their own sins and all that. You know what? All that where they beat themselves and abuse themselves and cut themselves has not erased one of their sins, not paid for one of their sins. But our Lord Jesus, He can take care of a sinner's sins fully and completely through repentance and faith in Him. Prayer. May we avail ourselves to this great blessing of prayer that our Lord has given us. And may we not be negligent to use it. And may we, as the Scripture says, be about it without ceasing, indeed. It really hadn't been a message to you that are here and not saved. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's all powerful. He's all sufficient. He is totally in every whit, in the smallest detail, He has been eternally faithful. There's not one slip up that the Lord has ever made before He became a man and after He became a man. He's totally faithful. And He's the Savior that you need. You won't have you won't have much of a future without him. Oh, you for a little time. There'll be some good times on this earth and some pleasant things. But the best that this world has to offer just isn't going to last. It just is not going to last. But I tell you what, our Lord Jesus, he's forever. And he is life and light. And we point you to him. Be reconciled to him. Not by what you've done, but by what he's done. Repent of your sins and trust in him.